Yes, we're back. We're back. So we're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Please join us on those two platforms. We'll be taking thoughts from there. Let's start with the Punch, page 2 of the Punch. And this story here says, conflicting judgments, NBA to meet CJN, Mohammed summons 6 chief judges.
You know, what happens in this instance is very shameful. And I had thought that we had put it behind us. Because I'm not a lawyer, you know, I didn't follow it, you know, guardedly. But this issue had been raised in the past. Mm-hmm. And I thought we had found a way around it. What exactly is it? Let me give you know, I like giving you these scenarios as plain as can be so everybody will understand. What it simply means is this. I have a dispute with Sheriff. Sheriff goes to a court in Ado-Ekiti. Mm-hmm. I will head for Nasarawa State, mm-hmm. the court of jurisdiction, whatever it is. But you can go with your handbag and go shopping for judgment all over the country. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I'm not playing to the gallery. I've never heard of such a thing in other countries. Maybe it does exist. I don't know. And so we had those conflicts, and the recent one that has made the CJ very angry. And even the president of the Bar Association angry is the various judgments we are getting in the case of Secondus, in the PDP leadership. Very, very embarrassing. You go get a judgment in Nasarawa, then somebody goes to Enugu to get another judgment in the same case. And we would have thought that, maybe the first judgment would hold, unless you go, of course, on appeal. But that hasn't happened. The CJ says that his attention has been drawn to media reports to the effect that some courts of coordinate jurisdiction, that's what I was looking out for, but as you know, I'll not be lawyer, so you won't be angry. Coordinate jurisdiction were granting conflicting ex parte orders on the same subject matter. And then he has invited everybody for a meeting. Meanwhile, Mr. Segun Akpata, in a statement on Monday, said Nigeria's history could not be complete without the mention of invaluable. But he says we have begun to receive worrying news of recurring contradicting decisions by our courts based on apparently indiscriminate grant of orders and counter orders. And they now give the example of this. Now, this is not the only place where this kind of thing happens. It also happens, for example, in the case of the police. Mm-hmm. I go and steal Sheriff's car. Sheriff reports me to an assistant commissioner of police. Yeah. I then go to a commissioner. From commissioner, Sheriff gets angry.
Yeah.
He goes to an AIG. Then I show him who I am. Mm-hmm. Then I go to a DIG. Then Sheriff gets angry again. He goes to... And that happens across the board in all the things that we do. Because we are not system-based people and we don't respect our various professions. I thought that law was an honorable profession. And that some things, even though might be right, is not honorable to do so. That is the way that's what my dad taught me about the law. That's what he told me. He wanted me to be a lawyer. I said, no way. Okay? I thought it was an honorable where you would say that I'm sorry, I can do this, but I will not get involved in what I will call legal rascality. And I know some lawyers who wouldn't do that. That's not to blame those who take advantage of the system. Well, good luck to them. It's legal. There's nothing you can do. But for God's sake, let us save our country. Let us save the judiciary. Let us save. The same thing we had said before in the past has just gotten better about the behavior of our judges, even in public. It's no longer that sacred profession that I grew up to know, with Dr. Taslim Elias always putting me on his laps and counseling me. He too wanted me to be a lawyer. I refused. I just wanted this one.
Why did everyone... I'm curious, though.
Don't you think I'd have been a good lawyer?
I don't know.
Ah, Shiggy. Oh, Sheriff.
How?
This is the first time I want to move. If I say I want to boast in English, it doesn't get sound right. But right from primary school, all I wanted to do was to be a journalist. But you know, and Michael Zekome here says that judges found guilty should be punished.
I agree.
Yes, and I think the NBA too should restrain its members.
What would be found guilty of, though? Because people are.
But it's I said it was Michael Zuckerberg.
Yeah, you said so.
I didn't say
that. Yes, you said so.
But let me read. It says, judges found guilty of what he called politicians' forum shopping or judge shopping should be punished.
So someone approaches me as a judge now. Is my fault?
A judge can say that. Why are you coming to me? You got a judgment 2 days ago in a Nasarawa court. Why are you bringing this case to me?
What if it's his right to do so?
There are some things.
What if the law allows that person to do so?
There are some things. It's not everything that the law allows you to do.
I'm just asking because I don't know about law, so I can't really speak. But I'm just asking as a layman, like, what if the person is within his rights?
Yes, it is. Of course it is. I think it is within the rights. But I think it is against the ethics. The Constitution and laws cannot state everything line by line, word by word. Mm. There's still some element of maturity that you expect in the application of all this.
Someone goes to his own judge, forgive me. Someone goes to a judge, got a judgment, and I have someone that, you know. I went somewhere else.
From what you have said, from what you have said, it now shows the underlying idea that some of us have of the judiciary. Yeah, that sometimes, not all times, sometimes justice can be, not even justice can be bought, but justice can be bought and arranged.
There's actually a documentary. I think it was a report. I can't remember very well. Justice for Sale.
That's
the title.
Look, we'll only be kidding ourselves.
I mean, we'll just be kidding ourselves.
There were judges in this town at some time ago. There were who would almost boast on the corridors of the High Court. But so you have not come to see me. There were judges like that. Yes, there were judges who are openly corrupt. Let's be honest with us. I'm not saying all. Please, I'm not painting everybody with the same brush. But there were judges who visibly lived above their income. So things are not what they used to be.
You know when they say that there's need for judiciary's autonomy of the judiciary right from the beginning. This is what they are talking about. Because you find the state governors funding the judiciary. You find them building houses for them, buying cars for them from the monies that are supposed to have been originally allocated to the judiciary.
You saw the mess that happened in Lagos State that wanted to tie that profession. The truth is, we've lost it. We need to go back. We need to go back again from the beginning. We've just lost it right from the point of choosing the judges. Because, to be honest with you, some lawyers complain about the quality of some of the judges that are recommended to the bench by the politicians, and you gave it away. You see, that slip you made gave it away. Okay. When he said he goes to his judge. So everybody gets his own judge.
It will appear so. I don't have that kind of money now. It's you that will have that kind of judge now.
We can have it. Look at me. Look at what happened. Have mercy on me. I don't. But I must confess, though. Must confess that the average Nigerian now, of some means, if he has he would find a way. He would most likely find a way to make sure that the case, especially if he's the accused or if he's the defendant or whatever you call it. He will find a way to maneuver because of the level of corruption. He could find a way to make sure that his case goes in front of a judge that might favor him.
That's right.
They're complicit. You see, what we have across the board is a complete mess.
It is a mess.
And I think I will address the issue on the discuss on Saturday. I'll look for one or two top lawyers and see, maybe elderly, and see how we can rejuvenate both the bar and the bench. Quite crucial.
Enoch on Facebook says, I think we should begin to look at how to plug these loopholes in our judicial process, feeling it's being shamefully exploited by the politicians.
But I also think that it has to do with from the onset, it has to do with the quality of lawyers that we produce and the quality of judges that we produce. For as long as we don't put an eye on those things and find a way around politicians bringing in their cousins, their friends, their associates and whatever, as long as we don't do that, then we are going to be having a problem. Because it is quite clear, unless we want to be hypocrites, that there's a problem at the entry level of both ends, both the bar and the bench.
Right, right. Let's stay with the Punch newspaper. This time we're going to page 5 of the Punch. Oluoma summons transport workers over protest against task force LASMA.
That is where your toilet should have come in. But we have, but look at the irony of life. Now the NURTW people are complaining mainly that they're being harassed by LASMA, okay, extortion of LASMA. Meanwhile, we the general public are complaining about NURTW activities on our roads and so on and so forth. This is almost about day 10 since we have this crisis.
Yeah.
I have not seen, maybe there has been, but I have not seen any statement by the government coming out with a clear policy as to how we can get rid of these two monsters that we have. Both extortion by the NURTW and the extortion of the NURTW by LASMA officials. What you now have in LASMA, the dignity with which LASMA officials put up their uniforms in the past has been thrown to the wind. They salute you at every junction. They tell you to break. Sometimes the traffic light says red. They tell you to keep going. It's not to move traffic. No. As they're doing it, they're coming to your window, saluting you. Hi, you, giving you thumbs up. What is it? Are they not being well remunerated? Are they not being well encouraged? Has the entry level, has the bar been lowered at the entry level? There is a problem with LASMA. All of a sudden, you find them hopping in downfalls. There was one that jumped on the lorry, and you can jolly well imagine what it was all about.
Yeah.
There is a need to reinvigorate the LASMA. There's a need to reinvigorate it with sound people, well remunerated and well motivated workers. It looks to me as if maybe LASMA has become a waste bag for politicians to throw their people there. Esha ba mefisi bi kon ejekulo LASMA ko ma lo direct traffic. If the spirit with which LASMA started has been compromised. It has been compromised. Go to CMS, see what happened. There was a LASMA who directed a singular guy, VIP, to go through the BRT lane.
Imagine.
In CMS, yes. I saw it. CMS.
Imagine
and
that.
Once I was trying to call the supervising officer there to call his attention to it, he said, go, yes, stop. He doesn't have to go. I should go. So there is something wrong. And overall, I am afraid, I don't know, it's going to be difficult for Mr. Jide Sanwo-Olu, and I mean this in all seriousness. I wonder what he's going to be able to showcase to us in 2023 when he would want to come up for re-election. Because right here at the other, down the line here, there's a story on waste. We're having problems with traffic, we're having problems with laws, you know, with laws being whatever. And now, you know, we have problems with the environment. He has to sit up and get this thing over and done with. The solution to this problem is not a one-off solution.
Right.
It's going to call for a total overhaul of the policy and thinking of traffic situation in Lagos. And that is, you might have to weed out some LASMA personnel or take them back to the secretariat and get more motivated people onto the streets.
Yesterday, quite a number of people were left stranded.
They were left stranded. And don't forget, the average Lagosian, the average Nigerian depends on a daily stipend, gotten legally or illegally. When I say illegally, okay, you go to secretariat and you are praying hard that one mugu will come and collect a form, you can get this from him. If you can't get any of it, you take 3-4 balls from secretariat and go and sell it in the black market. I mean, everybody relies on some daily stipend. They couldn't move around. And we've been at this for over a week. More than a week.
For weeks now. Weeks, yes. Actually. They move from one location of the city to another location every week.
Yes. So I'm glad that MTO Luomo has called his people to the meeting. But
what do you think is going to happen? What do you think will happen? I mean, he's been around for weeks now that this has been going on in different parts of the city. Nothing is happening.
Maybe. I won't say.
I mean, we don't have to see it, in the papers before we.
It is not from my mouth.
I mean, do you think anything can happen?
It will happen.
It will happen, Abi. Well, what will happen? What do you think happened? I mean, it's been. I don't. I mean, this is what I talked about this morning.
And,
quite a lot of. I mean.
See, if you. If
people
you,
were actually upset.
If you hypnotize me, I would not. Like my guest on Saturday said, no comments.
No comments. I was listening to the two of you. I was just laughing. Like, she offered the whole boy, me learning. Oh, wow. That was a good interview, by the way.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It was a great one. I enjoyed every bit of it. Daily Discourse actually comes up on Saturday, 8 to 9 on Nigeria Info.
We said we'd move it from 9.
No, we have not said that.
Yeah, that's it.
Ah, was he set up? We have not said it. let's continue with the punch. U.S. ready to identify Boko Haram sponsors. It's here on page 8.
Yeah, this was yesterday, and the U.S. ambassador to Nigeria, Mary Leonard, said yesterday that when she was asked if the United States was ready to help Nigeria identify sponsors of terrorism in Nigeria. And she said that, yes, she says we're very eager to partner Nigeria on. I've had at least 3 conversations in the last 2 months on this subject. I won't like to go into details. If what we've been hearing, interviews on channel television and comments and so on, anything to go by, I don't think we need the U.S. to help us identify who are the sponsors of Boko Haram. I think those who should know already know. What is left is the will to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I think my reaction stops just there. This is just, she wouldn't say otherwise.
Remember those people that were said to have been arrested, sponsors of about 400 of them?
Those ones are whatever. What about the interview the other man granted on channel television?
The retired commodore.
Mm. Very, very, quite substantial, and he was ready. Has he been interrogated since then?
Mm.
Has anybody asked him, who exactly are you talking about? From the way he's talking, from what he said, you can see.
This is not from someone from the outside.
This is not from that somebody. He was a commodore now. Yeah. A commodore is like a brigadier, and he was in military intelligence.
That's right.
And he said it convincingly. Not just that. I don't want to open old wounds, but look at even in our cabinet. Mm. So it's quite clear, that I believe very strongly that those who should know who the sponsors are know who they are.
Mm.
The will is just not there. My major fear,
yeah,
that should set all of us thinking, is we don't know how far widespread
this will go. Right?
This network is.
Oh yeah.
And that frightens me. I've watched too many Mission Impossible movies, mm-hmm, and all these things, read so many books, and I do feel frightened, because I then ask myself a question once in a while.
Mm.
Who is running Nigeria?
Mm. That's a valid question.
I just ask myself in very quiet moments. You know, those quiet moments, either when you locked yourself up in the toilet in the morning, or you're on a plane or somewhere, just very quiet, deep, quiet moment. I just ask myself occasionally, who is running Nigeria?
Mm.
We're going to have to put that question to the public one of these days.
Yeah, we should. I mean, I'm trying to process it myself.
See what answers we get.
Yeah, it's quite deep. Page 12 of The Punch has a story here. Amaechi's confession confirmed deep corruption in Buhari's regime, PDP.
The story speaks for itself. Amaechi is said to have confessed over the weekend that he's not telling us something we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He is not telling us something we don't know. What is sad is that this government came into place you know, one of its major whatever was its anti-corruption stance, and that seems to have fallen apart. Though that really was for people who are not discerning.
Yeah.
Because the first question I would have asked is who funded the campaign that actually brought in this government? Where did all the funds come from? Who are those who made the contributions? Where is the audited whatever of the party? You know, with the kind of politics that we run and how we tend to overlook what goes into party funding.
Yeah.
What Amichi said, would just be would be a given. Are public officers, are they levied? If you're a minister, for example, if there's going to be a convention, does somebody come knock your door and say, "Minister, now 20 you go bring home."
You know
that kind of a thing. So, if that is the case, let's face this thing squarely, and you know, if that's what we want, so be it. And stop fooling around and messing around. And talking about anti-corruption, corruption, you know. The second thing also is how come so many people now want to join the ruling party and then somehow their cases just go into oblivion? We've had one or two ex-governors that have joined the ruling party. We've not heard about their cases anymore. Another one has joined now. Sheriff, I don't know.
Ogagon. No, even... We're going to stay with the points. Page 20. Let's go to page 20. Let's take this story here that says, taking herbal formulations after 14 days of preparation, risky. That's NAFDAC.
Well, this, all of you who take Agbo Jedi, Agbo Ale, and so on and so forth, NAFDAC has said, and I'm glad because why I'm highlighting this story is that I thought otherwise. I thought that maybe if you soak Jedi, whatever it is, or Agbo malaria, the longer it is, the better it is. But NAFDAC says no, and they are advised that you should avoid taking herbal formulations after 14 days of preparation.
Let me adjust my seat.
Baba Mama Agbo. Okay, it says, after 14 days, if it is a liquid, it may start to develop bacteria that can make people sick. That is true. You see some fungi occasionally. And also that you should be careful in using herbal medicines to prevent avoidable death and complications. According to her, it is advisable to avoid simultaneous use of herbal and conventional medicine. You have malaria. You've taken whatever it is,
Atropine
or whatever, then paracetamol. Then you now
top it up.
Decide, let me take some lemongrass and whatever. You're advised not to do that. Do not do that. Do not do that. Okay?
Yeah. Agbo.
Do you take Agbo, by the way?
Yes, I do.
Which one do you take?
It depends on the need.
On the need. But some people take it as like a tonic.
No. I don't do that.
But you, but I will confess. So I took Agbo when COVID just came. I went when COVID came, my house was like
even though my doctor friends, I have plenty of doctor friends.
Yes,
they have told me that, hey, stop this thing you are doing. I mean, how do you measure the dose and everything and everything and everything?
No, there was no time for measuring of dose. I attacked my sister, Abibat, Mrs. Adichola. She sent me a bag full of. You know what, may I die? My house was like a little more. I had pineapple, this one, pineapple cover, this, he loaded.
Mine is just my dad.
It was so much in my house that those who visited me during that period, Mama, how on me?
That's why I'm
going to be a you know,
it's a practice that, it's a tradition. Let me not use practice. It's a tradition that, yes, I agree. There needs to be some kind of moderation.
Moderation, but look. Yeah. Let me confess. If you want to make fun of me, it's your business. When COVID came, and I saw one or two videos, man. But talking seriously, I do believe that if we put our minds to it, look at what the Chinese have done.
I was just going to say that.
Yes,
when I was mentioning tradition.
Yes, like, there must be some merit in a lot of. And the funny thing is that the Western world are picking. I bought some lemongrass once in Tesco. Well packed and everything.
Wow.
Lemongrass says something like tea.
In Tesco, wow.
In Tesco, one takwako, one time, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
We can, but you see, we've all become victims of all kinds of propaganda. Look at Ogogoro and Sima. What's the difference?
What's the difference?
If you use the two of them to wash your mouth in the morning, am I correct?
To wash, I mean, not to
rinse. Or, you rinse and swallow.
To wash.
Because you don't have fun. But you don't take alcohol.
No, I don't.
So the agbo you move drink serve is the water one.
Yes, no. It's always the water one.
Tomorrow morning I go give you something.
No, no, I don't want.
Go nice.
I don't want. It's agbo with water, and that's the I mean, I've heard all kind of things, but we must go now. We must go. What's coming up at 9?
You haven't heard. You know, Chief Elebu Ibon.
Yes, we
will solve that problem today.
Oh,
I'm having him. About this Emiri, whatever it is.
Okay.
Yes, I'm having him at 9.
Okay.
And then I also have a prophet from the Celestial Church.
Oh, fantastic.
But one is at home, one is in the studio.
Oh, great. I won't miss that for anything.
I didn't want to be in between.
In between the crossfire. Jimmy, thank you for coming.
Okay.
Lagos, we'll be right back.
They say, if you want to go fast, go alone. However,
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.